If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're going to talk about surviving capitalism in a roundabout sort of way. Joining me today is Quinn O'Brien. She's a self-proclaimed joy nerd, which I really like that title. Welcome to the show, Quinn.
Thank you so much, Heather. I am delighted to be here, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Why don't you explain to us what your definition of a joy nerd is and what that means?
Sure. Well, you know, it evolved over time. Now I call myself the joy boss, but about 15 years ago, I got really curious about joy because I wanted to experience more of it in my life. And I felt like I don't really understand it. Like, you're supposed to feel joy, but when and how, and are there strategies for this, you know? And it turns out there's a lot to learn about joy. So I had been studying it informally for many years when COVID hit. And I realized that the business I had been running, which was a successful kind of high profile business that involved getting on a lot of airplanes, did not bring me joy. And so I started really intensively learning more about joy and applying it to things that I think need more joy, like business and entrepreneurship and money and, you know, all those kind of corners of life that maybe people think aren't so joyful.
I have always gotten lots of joy out of money, and not the fact of having it, but when you talk about a joy nerd, Heather is the numbers nerd. And I used to do my taxes on 3 or 4 different tax programs because I was working out all the numbers and which one is the best. And I loved it. I loved it. So I got joy out of like numbers. And in the case of taxes, it's sort of those are numbers revolving around money. But yeah, you need to find fun things in whatever it is that you do.
Absolutely. And that's funny that you say that because I was just going through, I use Google Sheets, you know, to track things. And I was going through it on Sunday afternoon and thinking like, this is really fun. I don't know if anybody else thinks this is fun. But, you know, so many people, I think, are not like that. And I was not like that for many years. But I think a lot of times the fear and stress around money just eclipses any pleasure that people can feel in things like, you know, the simple things like managing your own money or in trying to bring in more money and trying to save money. Like, all of it can just make people feel like the top of their head is going to explode.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm all about, is helping people shift their mindset so that they can be more like you.
So I titled this episode Surviving Capitalism only because over the years, as our society is going along, it feels like capitalism is ruining people's lives to me. Our whole society is based on free markets and competition. Well, that was working out pretty well in the 70s and 80s. But now all these conglomerates are buying up other businesses. And now you're back down to very little competition. And they keep calling it capitalism and the rich get richer. So I'm sure they are loving the capitalism part of things. But those of us who are making less than, I would say, $70,000, capitalism is not working.
It is not. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I call it soul crushing capitalism because, you know, I think one of the fallacies that we're taught about this is that, you know, if you just work hard and are a good person, you're going to be able to succeed. And sometimes that's true. But sometimes capitalism just comes right down on your head and destroys things that you built. And that's happened to me multiple times. So I see it as something that has to be navigated. It's important, I think, to be really clear-eyed about it. You know, when I was first starting out and I graduated from college and I went out to look for a job, I never really understood that, like, there's a whole class of people who own the companies, the airplanes, the, you know, all the things, and that I was essentially becoming a worker for them. I sort of knew that vaguely, but I didn't understand the implications for myself and my own future. What did that mean? So I think a lot of surviving capitalism is about developing resilience in the face of these huge ups and downs. I declared bankruptcy when I was 28. after I had done exactly what you're supposed to do. I worked hard in my 20s. I had a second job that allowed me to save, and I bought a house. And that turned out to be catastrophic. And yet those are the things that, you know, as good participants in capitalism, we're exactly supposed to be doing. So yeah, you have to be smart about it.
Yeah. And they teach you, I know when I got out of college, I don't know if they do this anymore, but I swear I had the diploma in my hand for all of a week. And all of a sudden I got three different credit cards in the mail saying, yes, you've been approved or whatever. And there's this whole notion that the only way you can get ahead is to improve your credit score, which you got to do by putting yourself into debt with the intention of paying it off. But nobody teaches you really how to pay it off. They're just like, you got to charge stuff, you know, and then you'll have a great credit rating. And there's this complete disconnect in our society.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the problem is a lot of times that the incentives don't run in our favor. So there's a lot of incentive for the companies that have these credit cards. Well, their incentive is that they want customers and they want to collect interest from you. So unless there's a big push or some kind of mechanism that changes this, like, they're going to keep going after the things that are in their self-interest. That's how capitalism works.
Right.
So understanding that everybody's trying to do something in their own best interest, it's important to know those credit cards are not a favor.
Right.
They are part of that company's business plan, is to get you, cute young college student, to go ahead and start getting into debt early.
Right. Now, you mentioned that you had to declare bankruptcy. But there are other type of financial catastrophes that can fall people. They could have medical issues. Also, what's really taking off now are romance scams. I mean, they've been around for a while, but it's, I think, become even easier with the online factor that we have going on. People never meet these romancers in person ever, but there's always that promise. Oh, I'm coming home, but I just need you to send me a little bit of money to get the plane ticket. And oh my gosh, well, the plane crashed and fortunately I wasn't on it, but now there's not another plane. And I mean, they come up with the wildest excuses. And if you are vulnerable, if you are lonely, if you really fallen for the fake profile that somebody has put up there, and they can go bankrupt just sending out money. So how do you recover from either just your own personal bankruptcy? Mm-hmm. Because in your case, you bought a house and you were buying into all the capitalist stuff we need to get, or somebody's lost their money through unfortunate investments.
I mean, I think it almost doesn't matter the how it happens. You know, I had my situation with my house. I also, during COVID, had a successful business just kind of implode as large companies scaled back on consulting services. And that's what we did. So I think that the most important thing, and it's the thing that people don't talk about, is that you need help emotionally to cope with what has happened. It is a trauma. It is a trauma that we don't talk about very much, but there are a lot of ways that therapists have and other practitioners have developed to help us recover from trauma. And when we have a financial trauma, we need to recognize that and engage with it in the same kind of way that we would say, I've been in a terrible car accident. My body and mind need help and support to get past this. And that is what I did. I was so lucky. I found an incredible therapist who was just starting out soon after all the upheaval with my bankruptcy. And she was willing to take me for way less than she deserved. But I spent a lot of years working through that experience with her and regaining my self-esteem and my self-confidence. Another thing I think is important to recognize, and I actually have a free webinar about beliefs, because I strongly believe this is the most important thing. We need to examine what we've come to believe about ourselves as a result of what's happened. So if you were the Tinder swindler was the big one that we all saw on Netflix or whatever. But if you generously and kindly gave someone money and they turned out to be a scam artist, you might start to hold beliefs about yourself or about the world or about other people that are really not going to serve you going forward. So you want to examine those and say, okay, there's a piece of evidence here that this person was not trustworthy, but are other people trustworthy? And what do I think about myself? Was I the kind of person I want to be in this situation. And maybe you are. And maybe it's also time to rethink some boundaries, or next time we'll get some input from somebody else to make these decisions. So many of the things that we're taught are just contradicted by our life experience. You work hard. You're at the top of your profession. You think that that means this company is going to continue to employ you, but the company's goals and your goals, two different directions. I think about this stuff a lot because if we don't pay attention to the bigger trends and see what's happening, big picture, and even if we do, you might miss something. Absolutely. But it's really important to think of these as big picture trends and not as something about us personally, but because of being human, we take things personally. You know, you think like, I take pride in my job. I do a good job. And so if I lose it, then that means something, but it does not. We have to figure out how to balance this, where you want to feel good about your job. You want to be invested and take pride in it. But at the same time, be ready to say, and if I get cut, it has nothing to do with me.
We do need to take a break. When we come back, we can figure out how we can cultivate joy, which will hopefully cultivate money coming back to us in our lives. So we'll be right back with Quinn O'Brien, the Joy Boss. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. If it affects your life in any way, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about surviving capitalism. And it sounds like we need to find joy somehow in order to navigate our way through a system that is stacked against 90% of the population, I would say. So joining me today is Quinn O'Brien. She is a self-described joy nerd. And you yourself had a bankruptcy early on, and you had to come back from that. As you say, it's a trauma. You're just in shock. So how did you come back from a bankruptcy to then having a successful business?
Sure. And let me just say this. I don't say this to brag. I say it to give people hope. I came back so much bigger and better than I could ever have imagined. I have for years now made lots of money. I travel. I have a dream home. I have nice cars. Like all the things that I thought were suddenly out of reach for me when that catastrophe hit turned out to be very much possible for me to attain. So for anyone out there who is listening, who's been through something like this, divorce is a big one. Job loss, there's so many things that can and do happen to all of us humans, but it is absolutely possible to re-envision and recreate a really joyful, money-filled life if you get determined about it. And, you know, it looked to me like I was about to have a life of poverty and failure, and that was not what I wanted. And so I got really intentional about figuring out a different way. And over the years, I tried a lot of different things. It started with therapy, but I tried so many things, and a lot of things actually worked. And I could see myself making progress bit by bit. You know, it's not like a hockey stick. It's like little peaks coming up on the chart. And what I uncovered over time is that by cultivating really deep, purposeful joy, it made making money much, much easier. And I started to become kind of magnetic to it. Like it just seems to come to me. And that is because I really cultivated the experience of joy. Part of the way to think about this is that if we are in shame, fear, or deep grief, it can be hard to get out of that enough to feel the pleasure, the fun, the joy in what you're doing. But if you don't, it's very hard to see if you're still stuck in those things and you do need to feel them, but you can't cycle through, then it's hard to see the opportunities available to you. It's hard to see like, oh, I could do this little business on the side. It wouldn't be too hard and I can make a little extra money. Or here's an opportunity to upgrade my skills at my job and I could move up and start to change my financial picture. It's hard to see that stuff when you are trapped in a negative spiral after a catastrophe like this.
Now, you said you did therapy. That was one of your steps to get over the trauma. Was there any one particular moment where all of a sudden you went, joy? Do you remember what happened right then or what you were doing?
You know, there were a bunch of moments. And for a long time, well, joy and curiosity are very closely tied for me. So I'll tell you something I did purely to bring me joy that completely revolutionized my career and my money profile. And that was going to grad school again in a very impractical program that nobody thought was a good idea, but it made me happy. So I'll tell you what it was.
Okay.
Stanford University has, at the time, had a continuing education master's degree. So if you like to go take evening classes as a member of the public, you could take different classes, you can learn things, and then eventually you could apply to get this master's degree. And it was the most fascinating thing to me. It was a mix of history and philosophy and literature, and I just loved every minute of it. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to apply. And I got someone to write me a letter of recommendation. And, you know, nobody thought this was a great idea because it was expensive and time consuming. And there was no job at the end of it. This is not a degree where you're like, I'm going to go out and, you know, do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And while I was in the program, I thought, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to enjoy it. And I ended up going to a part of the university that teaches about design. And I just fell in love with that. That became the catalyst to a series of leaps in my career that took me from making about $60,000 a year to over $200,000 a year in about 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
It was incredible. It was incredible. And I think that there are gems everywhere like this for us. If we follow the things that make us happy instead of the things that make us feel just a little bit less afraid.
Yeah. When I started into broadcasting, my goal was to be the talk show host, which my podcast does help to satisfy that itch because I love talking to people and I learn something from everybody I talk to, which, as you said, when you're learning, it helps bring joy. But the first job I got in broadcasting, I was a board operator. So I pushed all the buttons and then it led to a traffic reporting job, which I never in a million years would have thought about. I know people are going to be like, oh my God, she's insane. I love crashes. I'm like, the destruction and there's debris all over the freeways. And I'm like, this is the best thing ever. And it brought me joy to talk about, not to talk about if somebody died or anything like that. But, you know, 98% of the time in a crash, most people are fine. And these things are spectacular. How on earth did you do that? How did you get up on top of the barrier facing the wrong direction? And I get the biggest joy out of being a traffic reporter that I never in a million years would have thought.
That's exactly it. And you go above and beyond because you want to. You're not just waiting for instructions about how to do this. You're like, let me go scramble up there and see if I can get a better view or be able to tell people about this. Like, that's exactly what I mean. And I think when you learn to cultivate that sense of, okay, whatever brings me like real joy, not the joy necessarily of like, it's fun to giggle with friends. Like, that's great. I'm all for it. But like that feeling of like, I'm doing my purpose.
Yeah.
You know, joy and money and purpose are so closely tied. And when you're in that purpose, you kind of can't help but have people want to give you money and give you resources and give you support so that you can keep doing it because they can see it.
You mentioned you have a free webinar. Can
I
you
do.
Tell us a little bit about what does this webinar do and where can we go to look in?
Thank you for asking. Yes. So you can go to joybasedbusiness.com/free. The webinar is a little piece of my bigger course on joy and money. It is all about beliefs. So people hold all kinds of beliefs about money. And it'd be interesting, just as you're listening, folks out there, you can sort of think about this for yourself. But we believe a lot of negative things about money generally.
Yeah.
So we might believe things like, I'm not good with money, or if I have more money, I'll have more problems. Or one that I held after my bankruptcy that I wasn't even aware of for a long time is that I couldn't be trusted with money because I had made an investment and it went wrong. So I took that on myself instead of realizing this is mostly capitalism's fault, actually.
Right.
So beliefs can be changed. Our brains are not static. They are plastic. They can shift in different directions if we're intentional about it. So what my webinar is about is shifting those beliefs, identifying the beliefs, and then shifting them, rewriting a different belief, and then sort of sealing that into your brain so that you start to track with that belief. And the amazing thing is that what you believe is a lot of what you are going to experience in life. Not 100%, because there are things outside of our control. I don't know when the next recession is going to be. They say it's later this year. I don't know what might be coming my way. But if I believe things like, I am resilient when it comes to money, I always find my way. Or if I truly believe I'm trustworthy with money, when I get money, I know how to spend it. Like if I believe that about myself deeply, I'm going to be able to navigate this whole landscape much more easily and much more successfully than someone who thinks all the opposite. Yeah. So that's what the webinar is about. I really, really would love to see people start to shift this for themselves. And I think it's a lot about questioning what we are told, what do we absorb from the culture, from the way that people have talked to us when we were younger. And, we, you know, who knows? Your Uncle Joe might not know what he's talking about, but he somehow conveyed to you this idea rich people are bad or whatever.
Yeah.
So we got to examine that, because if I think rich people are bad and greedy, well, then how am I going to be one?
Right. But I think it depends on, and it follows that, how are you using your money?
Yeah.
Because you had mentioned, if I have too much money, that's a bad thing. But the opposite can hold true, where if I just have X amount more money, all my problems will be gone.
Yeah.
The issue isn't how much money you have or don't have. It's whatever these problems are you think you have that you think mm-hmm. money will make it disappear. It doesn't. In fact, right. You just magnify it, because now you can throw more money at the problem that isn't money related to begin with.
Right. You know, in our culture, so much of our sense of ourselves is conflated with money. And so we don't have a good sense culturally of, like, what is a problem that can be solved with money? Like, I need housing. Or a problem that can't be solved with money? Like, I have a difficult relationship with a family member that needs to be healed. Or I have feelings of low self-confidence and lack of worth. I mean, Heather, I'm guessing we've both seen that thing that tells you, you know, at some point your happiness doesn't really increase with money, right? Like, yeah. Maybe incrementally. But I think that if you are already living a joyful life, money can help you just kind of add to the flame.
Quinn, do you actually talk to people, help them through their personal money issues from anywhere around the country?
I sure do, anywhere around the world. So my course, Joy and Money Mindset, is intensive. It is 10 weeks, and each week my participants get a new module to help them work through a different issue. Shame, regrets, manifesting, purpose, rewriting the money story. And then every Monday we get together and have a live call to talk it through. So there's lots of time with me. People have access to talk with me almost as much as they want. And they get these things that they can work on individually. So the idea is that at the end of that 10 weeks, they have really shifted their mindset and they know themselves. They know where they're going with money. They have a vision, and they are ready to go out and conquer the world. And I give people access for a full year, because if, you know, a bump hits, they can come back and they can come talk to me again, or they can come review one of the modules that's most helpful for them. So that's at joybasedbusiness.com/money. And guess what? I am offering a $200 off coupon for listeners of this podcast. The code is SENSE. SENSE. So you can grab that, and there's a payment plan option. You can pay in full, whatever you like. The coupon applies either way.
Okay, so I will make sure that link is in the description. But you said it's $200 off, which it sounds very generous. But people need to know, how much is it going to cost them?
If you pay in full, it's $1,950, not $19.
Hey, you're giving me a refund.
I'd really be on the losing end of that coupon. So that's $17.50 with the coupon. And then I also offer a payment program. So people can pay, I think it's $400 a month for 5 months. I believe this will be a little investment, a little skin in the game that helps people change their lives for many years to come.
Thank you so much for the discount for listeners who are interested. And again, you want to go to joybasedbusiness.com/money, and you can check out more information and then use the code SENSE, as in money making sense, to get a discount if you're interested.
Yeah. And if you're not ready to pay for anything, that doesn't matter, because I've got my webinar for free. I've got a ton of content on TikTok at JoyBossBabe for free. And I have new free stuff launching soon. So we can be friends no matter what.
Thank you so much, Quinn Bryant. You are the self-proclaimed joy nerd.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.